And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I hope many of you have already been treated to something, maybe a breakfast or some flowers. I remember one of my earliest Mother's Day gifts before I even started with school. I was just sneaking out of the house early in the morning and go to the meadows that weren't far away from our house and just pick all kind of wildflowers. They may not have looked as great as what you can buy at the florist, but it's the effort that counts, right? And some of you may be treated a little bit later on today, going maybe to a Mother's Day brunch or something like that. There's many ways that we can show our love and appreciation. And I hope we're using those opportunities. We're not going to have a PowerPoint today because this will be less of a teaching sermon and more something that's intended to be an encouragement to all of you. And I figured what could be more suitable than one of the most important commandments that God has given us in the Old Testament. To guide us in our thinking today, when we think about mothers and their role. And as you know, the Ten Commandments are basically divided into two sections. The early commandments are all about how to love God and what that looks like. And once Moses passed on what God had said about the Sabbath, which is the last commandment, that's particularly in regards to God, the very first commandment when these laws given at the time of the Exodus are actually addressing how we ought to love our neighbors. The first people that come up are the parents. So let me just quickly read Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, we want to be open vessels this morning to receive whatever you have for us, individually or together as a church. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word and for your Holy Spirit. Guide us now in our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to love both our mothers and fathers the way they ought to be loved and respected. And I pray, Lord, that you will also show us how we can possibly do that better than we've done it in the past. I pray all that in your name. Amen. So there's quite an emphasis throughout the Bible on mothers, and I actually learned something new while preparing for this Sunday, something that never jumped out at me until really this week. And that is, not only do we all share one mother, besides your personal biological mother, but also the one that we all share, which is Eve, was not named Eve until after the fall. Somehow that never dawned onto me, that Adam never called her Eve until that point in time. And the reason that's given right there in Genesis chapter 3, why he called her that, first of all, the Hebrew term means something akin to living. And it says there, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. So we have one mother that we all share. But it continues throughout the Bible. It's not just here in Exodus that both parents are being addressed as those who should be honored. It's repeated once again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 16. And then we have someone like Solomon encouraging his readers right at the beginning in Proverbs 1 in verse 8, where he says, listen to my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Sometimes you may think because, you know, people during particularly Old Testament times were very patriarchally focused. You know, the father is the one that counts. But with Solomon on the same level, not just important to pay attention to the father's instruction, but also to listen to the mother's teaching, because there's a lot that she has to teach us. And I had to think about the bond that mothers share with their children. There's probably no other bond in this world that is that close and that strong. That's also what makes mothering so hard sometimes, because you have this strong bond. What if that relationship is strained? What if a mother has to watch what her child is going through, and because maybe it's teenage child or an adult child, and your influence is becoming less and less, and you actually have to watch them suffer. But you know, the older they get, the more you have to let go. You may know a better way for your child, but in the end, they will still make their own choices. And I think that is one of the hardest things about mothering. When you want to be protective, when you want the best for your child, and you sometimes cannot prevent that they go through great hardships. Another thing that struck me in preparation, going through the Bible and what it says about mothers, is that one of Jesus' last words were about his mother. You realize that? Each gospel complements the picture of what was going on the cross, and it was John who recalled, as the only disciple that was still standing there with Jesus' mother, that Jesus said from the cross, "Woman, here's your son," and to John, "This is your mother." He was intensely concerned about what would happen after he would depart, even though he knew the crucifixion would not be the end and that he would be raised on the third day, but ultimately he is still departing. When Jesus ascended to heaven, Mary is no longer in physical contact with him. And women in those days had a hard time when the husband was not alive anymore, and we see that Joseph is completely out of the picture later on in the gospel, so he's definitely not alive anymore. Who would take care of Jesus' mother? And it would be John that he designated to be that. So it doesn't always have to be this same DNA that you're sharing. Someone else in your life may take up that mother role, and vice versa. There might be someone that you can care for like your own mother. And then it continues, of course, interestingly, in Matthew, one of the things that Jesus is addressing and that he's criticizing the Pharisees for is how they're treating that particular command. When you go for a moment into Matthew chapter 15, I just want to read that for us. In Matthew 15, in verse 4, Jesus is saying to them, let me start in verse 3 just to get the context. Jesus replied, and this was about the criticism on the disciples breaking the traditions. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is, quote unquote, devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it." So in other words, they who knew the law probably better than anyone else, they looked for ways out where they would not have to honor this particular command. And we may want to sometimes find excuses to why not to honor our mothers. Maybe because you felt treated unjustly growing up as a child. And let's face it, not everyone has a really good and close relationship with their mother growing up. I've had my own troubles with that. Thankfully, I have a really good relationship with my mother these days. But there were certainly humps on the road, and you know, sometimes when you feel hurt, you create a distance, and all of a sudden a command like that seems like, oh, that's just for people, you know, who live in a harmonious family and everything's going well. Now I can honor my parents. The Bible does not give us that kind of out, nor is it necessarily helpful. When you really want to strive to repair things that may have been broken. One other very important part about honoring your parents, and that includes our mothers, is of course that we provide for them when they get older. You know, we ourselves grew up being nurtured and being provided for, and it's, again, an act of love towards those who are closest to us that we take care of them. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul writes the following. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. Worse than an unbeliever? If you neglect to care for your parents, including your mother, you know, we live in a society where it has become very commonplace when parents get to a certain age, you know, and need a lot of care. Oh, we'll move them to the nursing home and they will take care of things. You know, it's sad to see how many suffer by not being visited by their own children. Eileen could probably give us plenty of stories about that when she, as a chaplain, goes to extended care at the hospital or in the various seniors and nursing homes. It's one of the greatest pains to sort of be left behind by those who are closest to you. I'm probably not preaching to anyone here that's actually treating their parents that way, but it is a reality. And we need to be reminded how important it is to still spend time with those who can't do very much anymore and who do feel very lonely. Finally, one other interesting observation. When Paul talks about the signs of the end times in 2 Timothy in chapter... sorry, this is not the one. 2 Timothy 3. I'll just read from the beginning. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and now it comes, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Interesting that particular comment is included about how the relationship to the parents looks like. Anything they say is being disregarded. You know, my kids joke about that when they write cards maybe for Father's Day or for my birthday. They always have to include, "You are so old," because they know they really know, you know, how to get you. You know, not like I've forgotten. But, and it's not like they dad doesn't know anything, you know, because when they do need help, they still come to you, right? We helped my oldest daughter move yesterday, and my body's still sore from that. And I gladly do that for her, you know, even though she's almost 30. It's funny sometimes, you know, how the relationship with your children develops over the years, you know, there may be a period of time where, you know, anything you say has no value whatsoever. It's being treated as almost ridiculous. But as they get older, sometimes they do still appreciate advice and, like I said, some help. And I'm glad, you know, that we're not needing to be stuck in one of these deeper valleys, you know, but that God gratefully changes us as parents too, by the way, as we're learning how to parent. Again, that applies, of course, to fathers and mothers in the same way. Let me share one more scripture from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6 before we look at some practical way how we can honor our mothers. Ephesians 6, first three verses address now the responsibility of children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then he quotes the promise in verse 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Interesting how even physically that has an effect on your longevity and on your general happiness. In having a good relationship with your parents. Now, of course, some may say, children, obey your parents. Does that always apply? Anything your mom or dad say, you have to do it? Well, of course there are exceptions. The Bible never in any way encourages abuse or just putting ourselves in harm's way. If you were a teacher teaching at a school and you would continue to see a child with all kind of bruises, you know, and it become very clear that there's abuse going on in the home, absolutely you should report that. And sometimes children need to be taken out of the home just to find a place of safety. Again, very unlikely that this concerns anyone here this morning. But we need to remember, yes, there are exceptions, but it's not in some way now an end to the command to honor your mother and father. You can still honor them, and in that case, honoring them would mean to forgive them and to pray for them. I want to spend the rest of our time here this morning and first of all, thinking about what does that really mean to honor someone? I tried to dig a little deeper into the Hebrew term here used in Exodus chapter 20. And the root of the word really has to do with weightiness. Something's heavy. We would use the same kind of imagery when we talk about something is important. So you treat your parents, you treat your father and your mother as important. It means, when you look at the English word honoring, to regard someone with great respect and high esteem. And I believe it is essential that we show our mothers respect, accept her authority, and particularly, you know, the younger we are, it's important to obey and appreciate what they do for us. Now, here are some practical ways of honoring your mother and, by extension, your father as well. One of the things is important is that you put yourself in the shoes of the one who is trying to be a good parent to you. So, understand her sympathetically. Realize the various challenges that she's already gone through and is still going through. It's not easy to be a mom. And sometimes we need to actually verbally express that we really appreciate all that work and sacrifice and that love that is being poured out. And of course, it never is in any way too often to simply use the words, I love you, and to love her unconditionally, and to hug her affectionately. It's what moms need, and not just on Mother's Day. Make that a point. if possible, every day to at least, you know, in one way, let her know how much she's loved and appreciated. Compliment her. Also, listen to her attentively. Moms have stories to share. It's not about, you know, get ready for school, clean up your room, you know, and do all the daily chores that need to be done in the house. But your mother has a life story. And so instead of just being focused on ourselves, sometimes it can be so healing when you can sit down, even with your elderly mother, and just listen attentively to the stories that she has to share from her own life. Because these are the kind of events that made her the person that she is today. You can disagree with your mother, but when you do, do it respectfully. Ask your mom for her opinion. Don't always assume you know everything. It's one great resource of wisdom that you have in your life. And so maybe pick up the phone. Or if your mom lives with you, you know, just ask for her input. Doesn't mean you necessarily will end up doing what she tells you. But again, it's a way of showing honor and respect. Also, be honest with her. I think sometimes we're tempted to think, you know, when we want to smooth things over, you know, that we don't always say how we think and feel. Because it may hurt the other person. In this case, your mother. I think almost always it is better to truthfully be yourself and let her know where you are. This is part of respecting another person, that you don't hide things from them. And yes, that may sometimes lead to very difficult exchanges, but you know, in the end, you will be glad that you don't have to sort of play a role just to smooth things over, you know, and not end up in conflict. Another piece of advice, speak well of her. When you talk to others about your mother, what are the things that you mention? Is it a temptation for you to complain about your mother or mother-in-law, which is often a case all on its own, where difficulties come in because this is not the mother you've grown up with, you know, and she may be a very different personality than your own biological mother, but she's now also your mother through marriage. I think we need to be very careful not to end up in gossip, but speaking negatively about someone behind their backs, but really focus on the good parts. What are you grateful for about your mother? And how is that part of your conversations when you get together with others? Already mentioned spending time. And again, that doesn't need to wait till they're in a nursing home or a senior's home. I think it's good to actually schedule times in your calendar, if you are close enough, obviously, to have regular times of visits. Provide for her if you're able. I mentioned John at the foot of the cross. It was important to Jesus. For Paul, it was so important that he said, if you don't do this, you're worse than an unbeliever. And help her cheerfully. Not just because, you know, oh, here's a commandment in both the Old and New Testament, and yeah, let's just do our duty. I think moms can tell whether you really chip in and give support, you know, out of the love of your heart or just because you must. Also be patient with her. Again, this is an important part of what love looks like when you go through the list of 1 Corinthians 13, what true love really looks like. Patience is part of that. Your mother will make mistakes. your mother will sometimes lose her temper. That's not a reason to say, oh, I'm going to cut off my relationship now, you know, and I'm not coming to visit anymore. No. Just like we ourselves at times sin and stumble and fall, but certainly want to get up again and want the Lord to be patient with us, so we need to extend patience also to our mothers and encourage her. Speak the kind of words that will let them know they're not alone, they're not forgotten, they are appreciated and loved. And when she goes through times that are dark and seemingly unending, and it seems like you'll never climb out of that hole, words can make a difference. We have a Bible full of promises and a future outlook that is frankly spectacular and absolutely wonderful, that we not just need to remind ourselves, but also those who are close to us that, yeah, these are tough times, but we're going to get through it together. Another thing that you can do for your mom is just to pray for her, and not just include her in your daily prayers, but sometimes, you know, in her very presence, pray for her. Pray for the things that are difficulties in her life right now. Pray in her presence, thanking God for her. Do not take her for granted. And one last thing I had to think about is how the word honor plays a different role in our culture than in others. If a Japanese person would read about honoring their parents, they would certainly think of things that we never thought about in the first place. Because we live in a guilt-based culture, while countries like Japan have a shame-based culture. And honor in a shame-based culture means you don't do things that dishonor your family, your parents. So this is also about our own conduct. Not, you know, directly what do you do to them or for them, but how do you conduct yourself in general? In other words, you ask yourself the question, how can I live in such a way to make my parents proud, make my mom proud? So what we do, the choices we make, the places we go, the choices we make about how we spend our times indirectly also have an effect on the parents in that way. So can I encourage us all this morning that we live in such a way that, you know, even when no one's looking, but just by the way that you focus on the things that truly matter, being an honorable person and honoring your father and your mother in this way. I want to close with a word of prayer for all of us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers, both the physical ones and the other ones who had a mothering role in our lives. I pray for comfort today for those whose mother is no longer alive and who miss them dearly. Thank you, Lord, that you yourself have said that you will comfort us like a mother comforts us, and that at least in part you step into that gap that is left behind when our mothers are gone. We thank you also that we can look forward to a glorious reunion one day with those mothers who have kept the faith, and that we'll be able to join in glory. And for today, and now also this coming week, and all the days yet to come, we pray that you equip us with strength and love and patience, and that we would honor our mothers and our fathers in the way that you have designed it, so that our family units will remain strong, that we can continue to shine as a light in the world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have one closing song.